good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of our happy Memorial Day weekend edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the stream is go directly to the 1150kknw.com website. Click on Listen. Upper left, and then listen online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And you can look for us on Facebook too, Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and check out all the videos and photos I post during the week. And it is time for us to fill up the table. More people get to join us here, and I'm excited. Thinking last night about Memorial Day weekend and shows a last minute prep and shows we used to do. And it isn't what we used to do on Memorial Day. And I do want to say, I mean, and production engineer Nathan Miller is here, you know, that we honor, of course, you know, the veterans, you know, that have that we honor and that the holiday is for and all that sorts of things. But we also celebrate our animal friends too. And we do a little different here, but, you know, 20 years ago, gosh, has it been that long since I've been on the air here? I mean, it's been more than that, I think. We did a little differently, but maybe we'll chat about that. But anyway, we are going to spend the rest of our time with, as we have been doing on five Sunday months with our extra fourth Sunday, finding out all about animals, because that's what we do. And the people that know the most about that run animals24-7.org, and that would be Merritt and Beth Clifton, and they are here. Good morning, you guys. Welcome back to Animal World.
Good morning. Good morning, Martha, Nathan.
Good morning.
Good morning. And I've got a little bit of sunshine going on here. Oh, but, you know, I can talk about it now. Because it had to be right about a year ago. Now, I think it must have been a shelter rescue sanctuary Sunday, you know, because you two would have been on with us later in the show. But Nathan, do you remember there was a show last year where I had done something really stupid? Because spring snow season had begun. And spring snow season out here is cottonwood season. And all the cottonwood that comes down, and, you know, that's pretty much what's been going on lately. And so if you live anywhere around here, you should have seen little cotton floating around in the air all over the place. Well, I got cottonwood all over out here. And when it's spring snow, it is literally spring snow here. I mean, my roof is white. Mm-hmm. And it's a black roof. Okay. And everything is covered. And you get so much that it berms up. Now, sometimes, because of the time of year, it will rain on and off during spring snow season, and that kind of gets rid of some of the, but we didn't have rain during this time, really. And so berms of it, berms and berms and berms. Well, last year, I was so excited to be able to go out and mow, because I love to mow on my mower and drive around and mow and all of that. And I was out there having a gay old time driving my mower through clouds of cottonwood, totally forgetting that I'm sensitive and I can be allergic. Well, for the show, I had no voice. It was the first time ever. I literally lost my voice. And I was, remember, we had a horrible show. It was really hard for me to talk, Nathan, and all of that. And I thought, and then Beth, we got you on the air and you heard what was going on. And you told me about the Manuka honey lozenges. And by golly, they're still one of my favorite things, because I had tried everything, all my homeopathic stuff, some, regular stuff, all of that. I was not able to do anything really to clear my voice. But right after the show, I got on Amazon with Beth and I ordered some and had them. I can't remember if we ordered them that soon enough that I got them the same day or at least the next morning, but they came really, I got them really quick. And I'll tell you what, one of those little Manuka honey lozenges took one of my mouth, immediately cleared up my voice. I thought, well, holy mackerel, why didn't I know about that? Anyway, I made sure I had a good supply of Manuka honey drops. I've got them in my pocket right now. But yesterday I did spend the afternoon mowing and blowing. And of course, all day thinking, now I'm wearing a really good mask. I'm not going to make the same mistake I did last year. And I'm out, so I've got everything ready to go, and I'm outside. But first, then I got to scoop poop, before I can. And I'm out there doing that, having a great time, and thinking, I don't have my mask on. What the heck am I doing? So anyway, back in the house I went, got my mask, and I mowed and blowed, and there's cottonwood everywhere, but I wore an N95 and I did it. And let me tell you, if you got cottonwood like I do, don't be thinking you can blow it away. Okay? Because it's too light. Okay? So normally when you blow leaves, you blow it and you can blow it somewhere. Well, if you start blowing cottonwood, you just blow it up into the air. So I learned a new way of blowing yesterday. You blow to get it up in the air, and then you blow the air. So my neighbors might have thought I was nuts. I'm out there blowing the air to blow.
Well, you know what, Martha?
Huh.
You're also blowing the seeds. You're going to get more cottonwood.
Well, yeah, that could be, but I. Anyway, yeah, I probably did. I spread cottonwood everywhere. So it's my fault if you get cottonwood. I probably blew it your direction. But anyway, the good news is I got a voice. I'm fine. Well, I also, have done my allergy homeopathics and all that good stuff. But the good news is I wore my mask so I was able to deal with all that cottonwood everywhere and not have a reaction to it. So
I almost wonder if instead of blowing it around, you should take a big shop vac or whatever and try to vacuum it up. If you have something like that, because with how light
I
they
suppose
are,
you
with
could.
how strong the suction is, maybe they can get, pick them up from fairly far away.
Well, I don't know.
If you really want to blow it, you get one of those boats they use in Florida.
Oh.
Oh.
Airboat. Boat.
Or even on Lake Washington, too. I think we've seen some of those also.
Wow.
They have those on Lake Washington?
I don't know what boat you're probably
Airboat?
thinking about. Oh, the fan boats? Like where they
Whoa.
going around in the swampy areas? Oh, yeah,
Yeah,
those
that's what she's
ones.
thinking about. Well,
With
don't
the
you have to
island.
have a swamp to be able to drive them in to
Well,
do
yeah,
that?
you have to have
Yeah,
water.
it's got to be
I
pretty
mean, I have a little
unwavy
swamp
water.
in a corner of my property, but not big enough to drive a boat on. So I think I'm on my own. But as of right now, well, if I look out, I'm looking out my window, and I have a the g garage goes out on this end of the house, and then the eaves under the eaves, so I can see the edge of the roof.
Just bring a helicopter in for a landing. It'll blow it to all your neighbors.
That would be it, because I'm looking at the edge of the
Right.
roof. It's got a white border on top of cotton. Just wait a minute. I mean, so there's a solid line of cottonwood along the edge of my house. It looks like I put it there on purpose. It looks like a, Christmas lights or something. It's
I can't believe
cottonwood.
you have snow.
Huh?
It's cottonwood. It's cottonwood pollen. Looks like
Oh.
snow. Now, here we get the auger.
Spring snow.
The
Oh, you
auger.
thought I had snow? Well,
Yeah.
that'd be something. That'd be
That's what
something.
I thought.
No, I just call it spring snow season because it looks like snow and it berms up like snow. And when you get a good blow going, it looks like it's snowing. So
But
my
snow blowers do exist. They're an actual thing.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I bought one, and I thought it was really great that on QVC or something, a snow blower. And I thought, oh, that'll be so much it, because we were starting to get like 1 to 3 feet of snow out here during the winter, which that's would really load up my driveway. Before I had my Subaru that I can drive through anything, so it doesn't matter anymore. I thought, well, a snow blower would work, and so I got a really good one on QVC, and it looked like it should work. It didn't work. No, our snow's too wet or too. I don't know, but I sent it back.
Yeah, I think it's maybe more for like powder snow or
Yeah,
something
so
like
I
that.
decided, yeah, no, it was a good. I didn't buy it. I bought it from QVC because so, and I knew that there would be no return issues, and of course. It didn't work for me, so back it went. Anyway, speaking of back it went, just before, and I know we're fruiting around, we should probably talk about animals, but I just felt like doing a little reminiscing and telling you guys what we used to do on Memorial Day. And because this is before Nathan's time. So back in the day, this would be with Gary. Gary would have been here. Oh, and hey, Nathan, do you think Gary's going to be the next voice for the Mariners?
That's a good question. I mean, he's
Because
been
Rick Riz
always
is
there.
retiring, right?
He is retiring at the end of the year.
And did you guys, Merritt and Beth, we're talking about Gary Hill, who is kind of like the backup announcer for the Mariners?
Well, he's the
Well,
executive producer, I guess is his official title, and he does basically kind of co-commentate with Rick Riz pretty equally.
But anyway, for Merritt and Beth, he's my Gary. Okay, because when I started here back in 2002, 2003, spring of 2003, I had a different production engineer for a few months, but it didn't work out. And then Gary came in. So Gary was young and, starting in radio and stuff. And so he was Nathan, he was Nathan's position for 8 years. And oh, we had a fabulous relationship. I just adore him. And we called ourselves our radio spouses because we got along so well and we knew each other so well. And we would could finish each other's sentences and all that sort of stuff and just have a
Ta-da!
There, that was Gary. And he's the one that had, we had the Seahawk that flew through the studio when the Seahawks were playing. Anyway, Gary, so he was always doing double duty. He'd be doing sports while he was doing Animal World and that sort of thing. But that's why I asked that question. Sorry about that. I got off on a tangent. But anyway, speaking of reminiscing, it was during Gary's time. And what we would do on Memorial Day is honor, of course, the veterans and what the day is, holiday is for, and all of that. But because it's Animal World, we wanted to honor our animal friends. And because I know that it's only the physical body that dies and the spirit's eternal. And of course, we get outside the square here and do telepathic interspecies communications and so forth. Was a fabulous animal communicator that I met when I started doing the show here. Her name is Kim Miller. Now she's retired now. She doesn't read anymore, which is why she isn't on the show anymore.
And
But
not
I was
related to
just
me.
not related to Nathan. But I was just thinking, I miss her so much. Because I know all you people that have been here with me from the beginning, and many of you came from before our time here, you would remember Kim because she was doing Kevin Miller's show at the time. Nathan, you know who Kevin was because he came was doing
Kevin McDonald, right?
Kevin McDonald, excuse me, Kevin McDonald's show, and they had me on as a guest when I started doing my show here, and so I met Kim. And she says, oh, I'm such a fan. I've listened to you for years and all of that. Well, anyway, she turned out to be one of the most gifted and best animal communicators I've ever met. And boy, is she bold and confident and details up the kazoo and like as close to 100% accurate as you could ever be. And she was hysterically funny. Well, so what we did on Memorial Day is we would dedicate it to our past animal friends, and Kim would come in. We always did everything from the studio back then, and people would just call in, and we'd talk to our animal friends on the other side, deceased animals. And so she'd help people communicate with animals that were on the other side through the whole show. And it was always just a great show, you know, and we got to talk to our animal friends and all that good stuff. But you know what? Sometimes we got in big trouble with a few people. Like, so son, we had once a guy called up Sandy, my call screener at the time, and just read her the riot act up one side and down the other, and that's not what Memorial Day is all about. And what about all the, you know, veteran yada yada yada. Same thing on Mother's Day. People would call in and say, "How can you be honoring animal lover, you know, mothers? This is about human mothers and da da da." Well, anyway, so we'd just do it anyway and get in trouble. So, what do you think, Merritt and Beth? How are you guys at talking at animals? Should we change our subject and you guys
Well,
could talk?
we can talk about animals.
But can you talk to animals?
I talk to them. They don't necessarily
I guess not. So I
one-way
guess we'll have to do our regular
conversations.
thing. But
I
anyway,
often do
I
that.
just wanted to tell you, I was reminiscing last night and remembering all those years with Kim Miller and just wanted to honor her and her great gifts of communication and what wonderful Memorial Day shows we had in a lot for a long time.
I have a quick question about that, Martha.
Yeah.
Did anybody ever get negative news? Like, I would love to talk to my animals from the past. I love them so much. But what if it wasn't a positive thing that happened? What if they went to be with another family because they didn't like you?
I
Never
guess
happened.
because anybody that had that kind of relationship with an animal probably never called in to talk to him. But we never had a bad experience. I mean, and what we really learned and we know is that you know, down here on the physical, or this is not where we're spirit first, physical body second. And the real world is really where we aren't, and we just don't know that. This just seems so. Anyway, once you're out of your physical body and on the other side, you're good. Okay? You know, the pain is gone, everything's gone. You know, once you pass on and everything's fine. So the animals are always fine and good. And there was always wonderful things to say and most, you know, lots of thank yous for what they had done for their animals and that sort of thing. And often amazingly accurate advice for the people, you know, and direction in their life from the animal friends. It was always a really wonderful and positive experience. But like I said, I think people that had really crumb. Now, some people would come in because they would call in because they felt guilty because they didn't think they did enough for the animal or they held on to him too long or anything like that. And the animals were always reassuring that everything was fine. So it was always a good thing. So pretty much you can just know if your animal passes, once they're out of that body, they're good. They're good. And I could tell you lots of stories and how I've experienced the situation and actually seen what happens and all of that. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. So, what the heck time is it? Yeah, Nathan's saying I'm going to stomp around here if you don't do advertising. So, before we get serious here in our subject, because Merritt and Beth have a whole list of stuff, I think we're going. Nathan, is that where you wanted? You wanted to go to California first. That's on his mind today. So, I think we'll be talking about stuff in California to start with. So,
And
anyway, yes?
it's also first on their list in terms of the most recent news, too.
Yeah, so that's what we're heading. Animal news from California, and we got a long list today. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues. Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org are here. Oh, and we'll check on Henry and Arabella too. All right, stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Yep. Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. Nutro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Be sure to support the sponsors of your favorite shows on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are midway through the second hour of our Memorial Day weekend edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we heard from our wonderful NuPro supplements. NuProSupplements.com is where you'll find them online. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. The best cat vitamins on the planet. Wonderful dog supplements for health and well-being, skin and hair coat. Holy moly. And if you got a shedding breed of dog, it helps the hair stay on the dog and not on your floor until you brush or wash it off. And also, they have a hip and joint formula. And you can find some of the dog supplements often in your local pet store, but all of them are available at NuPro, N-U-P as in Peter, R-O, supplements.com online. And they're available on Amazon. And I can tell you the price is the same, so you can shop either place. And remember our sound healer and acutonic specialist and chiropractic, Jude Ponton, Whispering Dragon Center in Shoreline, and check her out, whispering-dragon.com, Whispering Dragon Center online, or give Jude a call at 206-706-2836. Alrighty then. We are good with all of that. We are chatting with, for the rest of the show, Nathan is here, but we've got Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. I suppose it's worth Merritt just for a moment if somebody is just turning dials and tuned in and has no idea, what is animals24-7.org?
We're basically an online newspaper that covers everything pertaining to animal welfare, well-being. It's news at the intersection of public health and safety, primarily, animal care and control, issues in the zoo community,
Yeah, pretty much if it has anything to do with animals and is in the news, you're going to be covering it.
Correct.
And then you have a regular email, you know, that you send out on, you know, the different issues that you're covering. And so if people go to animals24-7.org, they can sign up to get the newsletter and then be informed about all this stuff.
Right. You get that every day and decide if you want to read the article of the day. There's something up almost every day.
Yeah, you guys are prolific, and I'm amazed. I really feel like these people don't sleep, you guys. I don't know that I've ever known someone that is as knowledgeable about so much stuff. And anything that we've had come up, I mean, Merritt just thup, and rewinds back and tells us the whole history of everything, inside out, upside down, and backwards, that had anything to do with the subject that just came up. I mean, I really, because you've been, have you been doing this all your life? I mean, how long have you been doing this?
I've been a journalist for 57 years, and I've been full-time on the animal beat since 1986. So
there you go.
It's a while.
1986. Well, gosh, isn't this interesting? I'm more interested in you right now than I am in our subjects. Beth, you have an interesting background in animals too. So, because I think you similar as me, that you were a vet tech for a while, and I think you have
control officer.
So you've been a vet tech, an animal control officer.
Cop, mounted police.
Yeah, mounted police. That's it. I mean, and then you, Merritt, you do most of the writing and research on the stories. Beth, you're the feminine artistic energy that comes in because you do a lot of wonderful artwork on these emails of collages of pictures and stuff that you put together, and which is very nice.
He's on the heart.
He's the brains, you're the heart?
Yeah, and also I do a lot of research as well as the graphic art. So yeah, we work a lot.
You guys are a great team. And I swear you don't sleep. I have no idea how you do this, but I sure appreciate what you do. And you live, you're out on Whidbey Island. And by the way, have you got blue sky and sunshine like I do?
We sure do.
No,
all right.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
All right. So beautiful weather going on the islands. And also, you have your little dog, Teddy. I haven't seen his face show up today. I'm sure he's hanging out someplace close. But, you know, the ones that we really love to check in on are, you know, Beth is a real animal lover. And there was a rogue rooster on Whidbey Island. Well, guess who brought the rooster home? That was Beth.
History.
So Henry moved in with Merritt and Beth. And eventually that put you to work, Merritt, because what is it, not too long ago that you built this fabulous chicken condo and stuff, which is apparently needed because, gosh, what a story we had a while ago, because Henry took on a coyote and Henry won. Got rid of that coyote.
He did.
Now, he didn't take him totally out, but he chased him right out of the yard.
Chased a raccoon once before that.
He won the encounter.
Scared the coyote so bad that it ran into the fence and put, you know, like a punched-in hole in the fence.
Yeah.
The coyote was so terrified of Henry the rooster. Henry had a little battle scar on his head, but he survived. So Henry and Arabella, how are they doing?
They're doing fantastic. I had to do some treatment with them. Sometimes they get poopy butts, just like dogs do.
So really? I didn't know. Chicken poopy butt? Is that a veterinary term?
Yeah. And also, Henry's spurs have to be taken off once a year.
Oh.
It's very, I, The first time I did it, it was like a dog's nails, and I didn't like how that went. It does it seemed like
So
there has to be
I
a
know
better.
they have a spur on the back of their legs,
Right.
and
It's like,
that that's where this, cockfighting and stuff comes from. And having, been out in the country and on farms and seen roosters in action, if they go after you, they'll jump up on the air and then stab down with their legs to get you with that little knife or little whatever you call it, the spur that comes out of the back. And
Right.
then now, so what, I didn't know that. We're actually learning something about roosters here. Do you have to trim those or something? If you,
they have a very hard calcification, just like a dog has,
right?
Like a vein that goes through the claws. The rooster does too. Well, there's a better way.
But I mean, is it normal? Do they like just grow and grow and grow? Do you have to trim them if you have a, I've never heard of anybody trimming the spurs on their rooster.
Well, if they, first of all, most chicken keepers don't want to have roosters.
That's true. Most of the roosters get let go or eaten.
Yeah, there's definitely maintenance. If you don't, just like a cat, it will keep growing and keep growing and grow into the rooster's leg. So,
okay, that's like the dog's dew claws will grow and then sometimes grow back into the paw if they're
right.
not cut. So I didn't know that. I didn't know you had to.
He has a wife that he has to think about.
So you have found a better way to trim this spur?
Yeah, it's so easy. I went on YouTube. You can get everything on YouTube.
But yeah, you can.
It sounds awful, but trust me, it's so easy and it doesn't hurt. And I would tell you if it hurt. You take the pliers at the base of the first you got to turn Henry upside down.
Oh,
he doesn't
that, okay.
really like that. Anyway, you take the pliers at the base and you give a little twist and a little twist, just a little, and it just slides right off. No clipping, no blood.
Oh, so you just take the spur off once in a while and then it grows back?
Like a hard sheath.
Huh. I'll be darned.
Does not.
Right.
Very little blood involved. There's no screaming. Very little pain.
Wow.
And so that's definitely.
I didn't know that. Huh.
Yeah. And it will grow back, but it'll take a while to grow back. And
well, how cool
Arabella
is that?
Was very thankful that I did that.
About how frequently would you say that needs to be performed?
Probably once a year.
Wow. Well, golly, that's our great education for the day. Well, we learned about bandtail pigeons and stuff. We're doing that too. But gosh, I didn't know. That is pretty amazing. And then I'm going to a sidebar, because Merritt, we do talk about cockfighting and what's going on in that arena, and because that's one of the things that needs to go away. One of those traditions or whatever that does not serve a higher good and would be better gone. But I think that they don't just fight roosters with their natural spurs. Don't
no.
they add something like right. razors and awful stuff like that? And how attach them or isn't what goes on with that?
Well, there's steel gaffs. And spurs, there's a couple of different styles that are used in different types of fighting. For example, the slasher spur used in the Philippine Slasher Cup.
Ooh, Philippines, Nathan.
Just a quick mention here. One of the most notorious cockfighters in the U.S., Tim Sizemore, was just convicted on May 12th.
Wow.
So they're being put away slowly but surely with people like Steve Hindy and Kevin Chambers doing a great deal of drone investigation, undercover investigation, sometimes working with ICE because many of the cockfighters are in fact coming in from Mexico.
And are illegal.
Yeah. If they're not illegal, what they're doing is illegal. So, and also, while we're talking about current events involving cockfighting, the Kentuckys who finished first and second in the Kentucky Derby this year have been caught at a major illegal cockfight in Puerto Rico, as has been a major league relief pitcher, Edwin Diaz. who's one of the highest paid pitchers in the game.
And we would recognize that name, too, because he was a former Seattle Mariners pitcher.
Right. He was a star in Seattle. Now, Rule 21, Major League Conduct Rule 21, which is why Pete Rose was suspended for life and Shoeless Joe Jackson was banned not only for life, but long after his life, prescribes that no Major League player shall participate in any form of illegal gambling, even as a spectator. So if rules are followed, Edwin Diaz and a couple of other major leaguers who have been caught involved in cockfighting should, by all rights, be banned for life. But the current commissioner has not been enforcing the rule. So that is, there are now currently three major league pitchers within 6 months who have been caught with involvement in cockfights, and two of those are actually due to stand trial for fixing bets with what pitches they throw in games, which is just around the corner from actually throwing games.
Wow.
That a little earlier. You know, throwing games is also an automatically banned for life offense. And people that get involved with gambling, players that get involved with gambling, they typically lose a lot of money, so they're tempted to take money from gamblers in order to recover their gambling losses. This is why gambling on games has been illegal since organized professional baseball began.
And there's other things involved where there's cockfighting and dogfighting. We're talking about drugs, murder. A lot of bad things happen dealing with those two things, dogfighting and cockfighting. So it's not just the animals that are suffering, but the whole community suffers by it.
Well, it sounds like, at least if the baseball stuff, that the powers that be in that sport are not doing their job in enforcing the rules. Because it sounds like one of those things, well, if it's going to interfere with our benefit and profit and, you know, a success of our team, well, we'll just ignore that stuff. Obviously, that shouldn't be happening, and maybe we need to be speaking up about that. Huh?
Historically, it wasn't. One of the first superstars of professional baseball way back in the 1870s was a man named George Hall, lifetime 345 hitter. When he got caught gambling on games, he was thrown out for life, and that set the precedent that has been followed ever since, which is now being ignored in the case of the cockfighters.
Wow. And in terms of dog fighting, wasn't there a case, was it Michael Vick?
Michael Vick. There have been a number
of
dog fighters involved in professional football. And football has done a better job of cracking down on that. They have suspended a number of football players over the years. Vick was one of the biggest stars in the game. And LaShawn Johnson, for example, was not nearly as big a star. He's a two-time loser. He's been convicted of dogfighting in the state of Oklahoma. Mostly you don't hear about the other football players who've been caught dogfighting, but football has, in fact, been penalizing these guys. Baseball has not been as aggressive in dealing with the cruelty to animals and the gambling aspect, which is what most concerns the owners.
Did I hear something recently in the news of that Michael Vick business that came up something recently about him again? I might be mistaken, but
we just passed a major anniversary of the case. He was arrested in April.
That might be it.
April of 2007. So,
all right, folks. So this is what I'm talking about, that, you know, you come up with a subject about animals, ask Merritt and Beth about it. Get the whole story and all kinds of details. So, let me just interrupt here because I want to tell everybody, you know, they're going to be here with us till noon today. So, assuming, Nathan, we have a phone line that works?
We do, and it's
because
of course...
I'm thinking if there's something about animals that you guys want to know about, today's a great show to call in, okay? Because all we got to do is open the right door and boom, we'll all get educated. So, we're still with the 888- 888-298-5569. That's our only good phone number these days, 888-298-5569. And sometimes you need the one, sometimes you don't. You know, like sometimes you're a nut, sometimes you're not. Well, this time it's sometimes you need a one, sometimes you don't. 888-298-5569. So if anything you want to know about animals, give us a call and we'll interrupt. Otherwise, I'm surprised we haven't been stomped on already.
I was just about to point at the time.
Yep. So I got to it first before he stomped on me. So let's take care of advertisers. Then when we continue, we'll go back to where we were going to start. And that's whatever's going on in California and all that sort of thing. But, of course, we always let callers interrupt. So anybody got an animal subject or something going on around the planet and you want to know, give us a call, 888-298-5569. Otherwise, we're headed to California, so stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
I'm Sue Minahan. Join me for Talk Cosmos, May 24 at 1 p.m. Pacific. Discover a rare cosmic event happening on this Sunday through the lens of vibrational astrology. Innovative Uranus and distant Sedna align at 1 degree Gemini, unleashing fresh consciousness patterns, reshaping dynamic new communication methods. Come journey with Talk Cosmos Sunday, May 24 at 1 p.m. on KKNW.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/1150KKNW.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and thanks for joining us here on Animal World. It's Memorial Day weekend. We're here until noon and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And I'm thinking, I just was chuckling. I didn't know KKNW is on Facebook. I mean, I suppose I should have assumed that, but just hearing that, I didn't know that. Oh, well,
I'm always sharing your posts.
Yeah, I've only been doing this, you know, for 22 some years or more here. Okay, well, you know, Martha's not on top of everything. All righty. It is a fourth Sunday month, and we are spending our time with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. Just got a real good example of we bring up a subject. Somehow we got into trimming the spurs on roosters because of Master Henry out there in Merritt and Beth's backyard, and all kinds of stuff about cockfighting and all fighting. Lots of details. So these are the folks to ask if you want to know about animals. So we're going to head down to the California area because there's stuff going on down there. Where do we want to start there, Merritt?
Before we go to California, I'd like to mention that a very important policy decision just came out from the Department of Housing and Urban Development late Friday, timed so people wouldn't really know about it.
Isn't that the way? Isn't that what the news people? That's a strategy. They put stuff out late on Friday thinking everybody's busy over the weekend and so it won't get reported or we won't hear about it.
Despite that, much of the humane world is going bananas now because the policy pertaining to keeping pets in federally subsidized housing has been amended. Assistance animals are protected by law, but emotional support animals have been removed from that definition.
Oh, geez, really?
From our point of view, this is overdue because the rights to keep animals, if you're a disabled person who needs an assistance animal, has been distorted by the inclusion of so-called emotional support animals in the same way that it was with air transport, where people were bringing just anything aboard aircraft, including dangerously aggressive dogs. And also,
yeah, like, I have an alligator. It's my emotional support animal. I want to bring it on the plane with me.
Things like that have happened. They've also been happening in federally subsidized housing. So this is the reason why the rule has been tightened up to eliminate emotional support animals. In particular, it's been tightened up because this has been used as a smokescreen by gangbangers so they can bring in their pit bulls and cane corsos and other animals that protect the drugs and claim their emotional support. And because you're only allowed to ask two questions of an assistance animal, the people responsible for maintaining the security of the housing have not been able to do so. But the other side of the coin, which is why many humane organizations are already up in arms about it, is that this reduces the opportunity for placing dogs, and to a much lesser extent cats, in federally subsidized housing with people. And this has been actually a major conduit in some areas for adopting out pit bulls. You adopt them out to the people in public housing who can claim them as emotional support animals. And because fatal and disfiguring attacks, Beth and I are particularly aware of what has happened as a result, where in some cases, little kids or older people have been killed by these so-called emotional support pits that were adopted out by humane organizations. I think we're going to see a big political fight about this coming up because already the disabled community is split in two between the people who have traditional support animals such as seeing eye dogs, hearing dogs, seizure
dogs.
Well,
usually those are called service dogs.
Correct. Those are trained service dogs.
Yeah, and they're very different.
And there
are some regulations and so forth that the dogs have to go through to qualify.
But the emotional support animal, all that's been required is you order a vest online, or you get a note from your local doc who claims he's a physician, and there's no requirement for training.
I don't know if you know, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but see, this has been a pet peeve of mine for many years. And I've been called in to testify on cases and so forth because I think the role animals can be phenomenal emotional support for humans. And they can form and perform a really important duty and service. There's a real legitimate reason for emotional support animals. Not all animals can be trained or controlled. And then especially when I would say probably the majority of emotional support animals are dogs. And like I said, you can just go online and order a service vest or something like that. My problem is there are no rules to or any kind of testing that a dog and a human would have to go through to earn their license or qualification to be an emotional support animal. And a lot of times I've been involved in cases and had to testify because these animals are taken into situations and like the store owner has to allow them in. And then the dog runs over and pulls the chips off the tail and is trashing the place, you know, or has to, and causing lots of problems. And so for a long time, I've said, we need to clean this up and there need to be regulations and a way for dogs to qualify to be emotional support. So that's kind of what you're talking about is there are, once again, humans taking advantage of the system and messing it up. So the ones that really need this are not going to be able to do it in federal housing.
Correct.
In fact, the what we call the pit bull lobby have consistently tried to tie landlords' hands, whether it's a house, apartment, so that they cannot say, you know, you can't have that dog. Right. They're trying to change the laws so that larger dogs, even aggressive dogs, can't be turned away.
Yeah, and that's...
The landlord would have no say in it. They have to follow the law.
Right, and there's a lot to be said, and I, you know, have issues with that too. I work with lots and lots of pit bulls, and I think God works in strange ways, and that I think some of the most powerful physical animals that can do the most danger, especially with dogs, the most powerful, come innately with the most gentle temperaments and personalities. And pit bulls fall into that category, you know, on their own and you know, the right genetics. They're wonderfully sweet dogs and can be amazing dogs. But we also know, okay, well, I think it's 1,600 pounds pressure for square inch of jaw pressure and so forth. And they bite differently other dogs. They bite and hold and you know, and then when you get the pack mentality going, more than one dog at a time, you just can't argue with statistics. So try to argue this point with Merritt and Beth. And because, well, since the 80s, you've been following this, you got statistics, and even you can't argue with it. There's a whole lot more problems with these type of dogs than with other breeds. And we have to have a better way of dealing with this because you can't just say, oh, it's not the dog, it's the human. Now, that is in fact true because it is what the humans do and all of that. But on the other hand, it is the dog too. It is the breed and the genetics of the breed. Isn't that correct?
Yes. So far in the month of May here in the U.S., we've had 5 dog attack fatalities. The dogs involved have been 7 pit bulls and 2 cane corsos. What does that tell you?
Yeah, and that cane corsos are the bigger type protection guys, and don't they come out of the south somewhere?
Well, the story
South goes, America or something.
That's the Dogo Argentino and the Filia Brasiero. The cane corsos are also called Italian mastiffs, and people trace them back to Roman war dogs, but in fact, in the United States, and we've traced this pretty extensively, they've been totally crossed back and forth with pit bulls to make bigger, stronger pit bulls, the Johnson Bulldogs and so forth. So you never know when you get a cane corso, whether or not it really is a pure cane corso, or it's just a big pit with a cane corso jaw.
Wow, interesting.
Well, the media is making our jobs much more difficult now because they will leave out what type of dog it is. So we have to go searching through a lot of different information to figure out exactly what type of dog.
To find the photographs is the most important thing. That's Beth's specialty. She finds the photographs of the dogs and matches the dog.
And I'll tell you, you guys, I know a lot of you, you trust me and my experience with dogs and behavior. And I'll tell you anymore, there are certain breeds that I will not work with adult versions, and which you have just mentioned. Now, pit bulls, I'll deal with. But the cane corsos, you know, the larger. I mean, I am physically not strong enough anymore. And if you know the right buttons got pushed or the wrong ones or whatever. Anyway, I just won't. And that even happened with the app online that a lot of my business comes through, where people search for me. It's like an Angie's List or something, but it's a difference, not that one. But you search and then you send a request for a quote sort of thing. In the beginning, they had to put in what breed of dog they had. Well, then the app changed it and said, we're not going to ask for the breed. Well, us trainers, you know, raised, you know what, because we wanted to know, because there are some, but they would not change it no matter what. Because too many trainers were opting out on the breeds they'd work with. So, you know, we need more education. We need more people understanding what's going on here. And we need to change the way we're doing things and change some of the rules. And it's not that these dogs can't be good, you know, dogs, but humans are irresponsible. And that's a big part of the problem. Anyway, we are out of time for this hour. We got to fire up the love train again and get going on our second hour. And eventually we'll get to California. And we still have a whole, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things on the list we haven't even gotten to yet. So you got to hang around for the next hour. We'll get into all of that. If you want to call and have a subject of your own, you can always distract us with that. 888-298-5569. And then we're going to get up and get our juices flowing, energy going for the day and the week. And you can't opt out. Dancing is required, but you can dance in your head. You can dance in your bed. You can dance in your chair. You can dance anywhere. Get up on a love train. Join me. I'll cruise by and pick you up. And I always energize up the love train music with our yogi energization prayer. So here we go with that. O infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. O eternal youth, the body and mind, abide in us forever and forever via the love train, and it's coming right up. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk. Oh, there's Teddy. All right, see you around the corner. Love train's coming up on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.